This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott, and that is the unmistakable theme of Here's What's Awesome. When NHPR digital host Brady Carlson, no potted plant key, joins us for a roundup of the latest trends, memes, and viral videos from the web. Brady, always great to have you back.
It's nice to be back.
Now, I hear you went viral this week.
Yeah, not in the fun web way, though, in the physical, literal way. I caught a cold, so okay, I am going viral.
I'll keep my
apologies
distance.
For that. Thanks.
It seems that we can't ever get you on and talk with you about the latest without the latest outrage coming from a decision now made by Facebook. So what happened this week with our email on the site?
Oh, you remember that on your Facebook profile, you can say, all right, I want to put my phone number. I want to put my chat account. I want to put my email address.
Uh-huh.
You can show that just to your friends, or you can show it to the whole world if you prefer. Over the weekend, apparently, Facebook decided that the address that everyone should and would be showing was their Facebook email account. Did you know that you had a Facebook email account?
I did
not. Facebook.com? Well, apparently you do. It matches your screen name on Facebook, and that is your primary email address in there. You can actually go back and change it. You have to go into your profile and set it to hidden and show a different email address. So it's not like the information is lost, but it was just kind of done, you know, without a whole lot of announcement or a whole lot of fanfare. And so it's become the latest thing that Facebook users are griping about. And then when the company was finally asked about the change, their response was basically, you're welcome. That you can imagine how well that went over. This is all about integration. Facebook wants users to use Facebook services instead of just posting their competitor services. It's a little bit like when Google, which owns YouTube, changed the front page of YouTube to highlight videos that your contacts on Google Plus were showing. And of course, that went over really well, just like this move seems to be going over really well.
Okay, there we go. A lead balloon. Here's the social media move that might actually be very popular, however. Tweets in space.
Yeah, doesn't the phrase in space go well with pretty much it? You can put anything in front of that phrase and it
pigs.
Sounds better, right? Pigs in space, right. National Geographic has this show UFO Chasers that they're trying to build some buzz around, so they're asking people to tweet with the hashtag UFO Chasers toward the end of next month, and when that happens, they're going to beam those messages into space using the Arecibo telescope in Puerto Rico, the real high-powered one. I will be the guy tweeting the phrase double rainbow all the way over and over because I want to make sure that, you know, whoever is out there is fully ensconced in our memes.
And we'll hope they're listening to NHPR.
Then no doubt.
Let's move to a more complicated story about sharing online. Now, the creator of the humor site, The Oatmeal, taking action against a competing site called Funny Junk that posted his comments without permission. What's the story?
The Oatmeal is drawn. It's a cartoon site by a guy named Matthew Inman, and he's been very vocal about these kinds of sites that are reposting his work without permission. And he had written an article about how, you know, Funny Junk was sort of the example of that, and he listed all the links of where that site was showing his comics, and he said this is done unauthorized. And Funny Junk's lawyer, Charles Carrion, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, sent kind of a legalese letter back saying Inman was defaming Funny Junk by saying, you know, they were stealing his work and doing all of these awful things. And in the note, he said, you can remediate this with me by taking down your defamatory statements from your website and sending me a check for $20,000.
Okay.
And you can guess Inman didn't like that idea. He thought it was a little cheeky. And so he decided to be cheeky back. Instead of forking over money to Funny Junk's lawyers, he organized this charity drive. It's called the Bear Love Campaign. It's
like B-E-A-R, bear.
Like the animal, the bear. It's a long story. But he raised $20,000, which was his original goal, in a single hour. And that's money meant for the American Cancer Society and the National Wildlife Federation. The campaign actually just wrapped up, making a total of $220,000. But that's not the end of the story. The lawyer, Charles Carrion, the guy working for Funny Junk, then sued Matthew Inman of The Oatmeal, sued the charities, and sued the site Indiegogo, which was taking the donations. And that's when the web's collective jaw kind of dropped.
On what grounds?
He's saying that, the defamation is continuing. He's saying that this money is being misused. He appears to be, and I am no legal expert, but he appears to be sort of taking the broad brush approach. He's also, at the same time, subpoenaing a lot of sites that are writing about this story. So I think it's one of those kind of tactics, you know, we're going to keep on top of this.
Well, you might get a knock at the door later this afternoon.
I'm around. I guess you could just find me at BradyCarlson@Facebook.com, right?
Everybody can. Okay, moving on to politics. Web guru Clay Shirky has some pretty strong opinions about what is not going to be happening this election cycle.
Yeah, he said that 2012 is shaping up to be the first year where we don't see any truly new or innovative uses of digital media. And of course, in the last few presidential elections, we've seen some real advances in online fundraising, online messaging, and online organizing. We're not seeing that this time around. It's not that campaigns aren't using digital media. They're simply doing what they have already done over the past few cycles. I had expected mobile, frankly, to be a bigger player than it's been this time around. And the campaigns are starting to take donations by text message, but that's kind of it. And I kind of expected more. Clay Shirky has a theory about this, by the way. He says that this is possibly related to the rise of super PACs. And super PACs are designed to be somewhat secretive, not real transparent. They like to keep things under wraps, and they don't use social media almost as a rule. And he says the style of those operations may be sort of showing up or even rubbing off on the broader campaigns.
Very interesting. But it doesn't mean politicians can't go viral, sometimes, as we know, for the wrong reasons.
That is correct. All it takes is a staffer to hit the wrong button, and that's what happened to Indiana Republican U.S. Senate candidate Richard Murdoch. His campaign last week released on YouTube his multiple reactions to the Supreme Court's rulings on the Affordable Care Act, which, as we all know, haven't been made yet.
Well, we've had our brief moment of celebration because the Supreme Court ruled that Obamacare is, in fact, unconstitutional. It's what many of us argued all along. But don't say none of us really thought could happen. They've ruled Obamacare constitutional. Now the fight has moved from the courts to the United States Congress. You can be sure, starting January of 2000, we now know that Obamacare came down as a split decision. The Supreme Court struck down.
I guess he's preparing for every eventuality.
And that was the statement that his campaign gave. He said, you know, we're trying to be like the Boy Scouts. We've got to be prepared. And, you know, this probably shouldn't be surprising. We all pre-produce stuff. We're all trying to make sure that we've got the instant reaction ready to go. But hopefully we'll all just make sure that we publish only the things that are supposed to be published at the right time.
Speaking of the unpublishable, we're talking with Brady Carlson, who's here with us, and he's doing his latest round of What's Awesome on the Web. So another viral political meme. I understand that one of my favorite television shows has actually become source material for some fake political ads.
These were made by Mother Jones, political attack ads for the characters in the series Game of Thrones.
Let's hear it.
Robb Stark. He's the biggest celebrity in the North. But his father was a traitor. He arrested his own mother. Worst of all, Robb Stark hasn't stopped the wildlings from invading our lands and taking our jobs. This Khaleesi wants to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms. But can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
Pay for by the committee to protect dragons.
And nobody wants to be the anti-dragon candidate, certainly not. I've always had a soft spot for political ad spoofs. I actually did one political ad attack ad against myself once, accusing myself of not being born in time to stop the Black Plague, which I guess is kind of thematically would have worked here.
So from Game of Thrones to maybe a more familiar game. Now, I hear you've got news from the hyper-competitive world of rock, paper, scissors.
And it just got serious. There's a robot in Japan that literally cannot be beaten at this game. There's a video of a human trying every which way to beat the robot, and every single time the human comes out losing against this robot.
Oh my goodness. Well, we should say the robot might actually be cheating. Okay, he doesn't sound all that fierce, but how does he do it?
No, the robot has a video sensor, and it very, very quickly starts to recognize when your hand is taking the shape, say, of the rock, and it responds accordingly by making itself its own robot hand into paper. I'd like to see two of these unbeatable robots face off against each other. That may destroy the space-time continuum, but it's just a nagging question. I got to know.
So bad news for the future of rock, paper, scissors, but some possible good news on the way for disappointed video game fans.
The fans of the game Mass Effect 3, who were so unhappy with the ending of that game that they wound up taking part in the consumerist Worst Company in America poll and made the makers of the game, Electronic Arts, EA, the worst company in America. That's how mad they were. The company has responded by saying, you know, okay, we hear you. We're going to to rewrite the ending of the game so that the fans were mad because the whole game is about choice, character development in the way that you want. You can be a good guy if you want. You can be a bad guy. And the ending sort of did away with all that. And the company says the new ending is going to give you a little bit of the choice back. And it seems to be getting good reviews, or at least decent reviews from reviewers and fans.
Hell hath no fury, right? And speaking of rabid fandom, is the life of any good web trawler the biggest celebrities are, of course, cats.
That's
now,
right.
I guess there's a new star emerging from the world of viral felines.
His name is Henri, the existential cat. He's
but
one part Winston, the now-retired put-upon kitty, one part Misery Bear, the BBC video sensation, and one part French New Wave film. His movies are in black and white, French narration, English subtitles, and all sorts of depressing big ideas.
Okay.
Nothing has changed. I'm told I'm famous on the internet. But for what?
Brady, I think I'm thanking you right now, but I'm not sure.
It's hard to know whether these thank yous even mean anything anymore.
Brady Carlson, NHPR's All Things Considered host and social media mega mind. For links to all of his awesome finds from the web and what they all mean, go to wordofmouthradio.org. You can also take a look inside of his brain at his own website, which is livingindefinitely.com. Wednesday is a super good day to catch it, as you'll find out when you get there. Coming up, Granito, How to Nail a Dictator. We'll speak to the filmmaker just after the break. This is Word of Mouth.
The indignity is too much to bear.